Welcome to Fairborn Full Gospel Tabernacle. We are located at 2528 National Road in Fairborn, Ohio. If you don't have a home, church, we would love for you to consider making your home with us. Our service times are as follows. Sunday school at 10 a.m. and Sunday morning worship at 11 a.m. Sunday night Bible study begins at 6 p.m. and Wednesday night prayer meeting starts at 6 p.m. Now it's time to enjoy a wonderful anointed message from Pastor Jimmy Haining.
Praise God. If you got your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Titus, chapter 2. Titus, chapter 2. Once you found that, stand with me for the reading of God's Word this morning. Titus, chapter 2. I'm going to start reading with verse number 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Thank God for that. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good work. Man, you may be seated. I'm going to preach on the thought this morning, God's dynamos. God's dynamos. And we've heard some of that here this morning. Some of your testimonies have been great. I'm like Brother Jeff. It's very encouraging when we hear that God is moving in our midst. Thank God for those testimonies. Although the word dynamo is not used in Scripture, it does have a synonym that is used. And that is the word zealous or zeal. But the word dynamo in the Webster's dictionary means this. It's defined as a forceful, energetic individual. A forceful, energetic individual. When we look at the word zealous in the Greek, it actually has two different definitions. It means excitement of mind, fervor of spirit, and most eagerly desirous of. That's excitement of the mind, fervor of the spirit, and one that it's most eagerly desirous of, in this case, God. And then the second definition, it means defending, upholding, and vehemently contending for, again, in this case, Jesus Christ. Those are the definitions for the word zealous, which again is the synonym of the word dynamo. In the book of Daniel, Daniel used a different word that goes along with them. He used the word exploits. In Daniel chapter 11, verse 32, the last part of that verse says, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. And so in the original language, the definition of exploits has four different meanings for that one little word. The first one means a heroic act or extraordinary deed. The second one is to work excessively hard, which sounds very similar to the definition that the Webster's gave us for the dynamo, meaning a forceful, energetic individual. The third definition means to make good use of. And finally, the fourth definition, to be great and perform mighty things. To be great and perform mighty things. So that's what the word dynamo, zealous, exploits, all those go hand in hand. And the thought that God gave me, as we as his dynamos, there is one great commission, we all know what that is, that Jesus was interested in. Brother Jeff, when he walked the face of this earth, the Bible said he went about making disciples. And can you just imagine Jesus walking up to you when you're out on Indian Lake, Brother Mark, and he was to say, hey, come with me and I'll show you something bigger than fish you can catch. That's pretty much what he said to him when he called him. But I want to talk this morning about us being God's dynamos. But first, I want us to look at the blueprint given in our scripture text in Titus chapter 2, in particular, verse number 12. He points out here in verse number 12 that as God's dynamos, we're to do two things first and foremost. We're to deny, completely deny, all ungodliness. And the other thing that we're supposed to deny are worldly lusts, plural. As we know, there's all kinds of different kinds of lusts in the world. But we're to deny those two things. But thank God it doesn't stop there, Brother Jeff. He gave us three for two. If we'll do that, he said, you know, we come behind with the fact that we can live in three different things. We can live soberly, we can live righteously, and we can live godly. But the only way to do that is to deny these other two things, ungodliness and worldly lust. Now, Jesus is the one that made the statement that light, Brother Dennis, and darkness cannot cohabitate. They cannot go together. In fact, in Matthew chapter 6, he says, starting at verse 21, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore the eye be single," in other words, be together, "the whole body shall be full of light. But if that eye be evil, then the whole body shall be full of darkness. And if therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness?" And that last part there is talking about the Christian, not the sinner. That last part there, Brother Dennis, is talking about someone who knows better, and they give in to the dark side, so to speak. And so their state's worse than someone who's never been saved. Verse 24 says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. But you cannot serve God and mammon." And that word mammon simply means a lust for money or the things of this world. And having said that, I just want to say, and you've heard me say this quite often, and here lately God gave me, I don't know if you'd call it a vision or what you'd call it, but he gave me an analogy in my mind. And I thought, you know, if I was to, Brother Dennis, if I was to walk up to a sinner, and I, or anybody for that matter, a Christian or a sinner, but especially a sinner, if I was to walk up, Brother Mark, to a sinner, and I had a briefcase with me, and in this briefcase, Brother Mike, I said, "This, believe it or not, is a $1 million briefcase. You want me to prove it to you?" "Yeah." So I open it up, and sure enough, Brother Jeff, there's big bills in there that add up to $1 million. And this is the thought the Lord gave me. I'm sure, I can see myself saying this to the person, I'm sure that if I was to tell you that this $1 million briefcase is all yours, free of charge, no strings attached, and all you got to do is just reach out and take it, I'm sure you wouldn't want it. So I'll just go down the road. They'd stop me. Oh, wait a minute. Okay. Most people in their right mind, Brother Ronnie, would take that briefcase, right? But sadly, every single day, that same scenario is being presented to sinners. It's a free gift from God called Jesus Christ. So simple a child could do it. Pray the sinner's prayer. Invite him into your heart to be Lord of your life. Change seats. Let him be the pilot. You be the co-pilot. Let him do the driving in the car. You be the passenger. Make him Lord of your life. And here's why. If I were to live to be 100, I doubt I'm going to live that long, but if I were to live, Brother Eddie, to be 100, what is 100 years compared to eternity? The same people that wouldn't dream of passing up a $1 million briefcase in this natural world, Brother Eddie, every single day, those same people, when you ask them, "Would you like to invite Jesus into your heart?" "No, thank you." And what they don't realize is that the poorest saint of God in the kingdom of heaven, when we get there, the poorest saint, and when I say poorest, I mean God's going to be handing out rewards according to service. So the lowest one on the totem pole, the one that did the least, Brother Mark, their reward would bankrupt this entire globe 1 million times over. People are just throwing it away for the splash in the pan, so to speak. They are looking at this world, Sister Lisa, and they're making a big to-do about the people in this world, the places in this world, and the things of this world. And if they're fortunate, they might see the age of 80. I doubt it. Most people don't. But if they're fortunate, Brother Creed, they might see the age of 80. Even if they see the age 100, what is that? You can't take it with you. You've heard me tell before about the bumper sticker they used to have out on the back of the car, is "He who dies with the most toys wins." No, he that dies with the most toys loses if you don't have Jesus Christ in your heart. And so Jesus said you can't serve two masters. And where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. Did you realize two things? Number one, there's a place called hell. Number two, the devil don't live there. Believe it or not, he doesn't. He never has. The devil and his fallen angels have never been in hell. They reside in the second heavens. You got the first heaven, we look up, we see the blue sky. You got the second heavens where the planet, the stars, the Milky Way, and all that is. And then you got the third heaven that Paul talked about. That's where God is, light years away from the second heaven. See, when old Splitfoot, that I like to call him, abandoned heaven, he ain't got kicked out yet, because right now he's still got access to approach the throne of God and accuse you and accuse me before God. But the day's coming, Brother Eddie, when God's going to deny him access altogether. Right now he's in the second heavens, him and all of his fallen angels. And there is a place that God prepared before man was ever created. And it was created especially for the devil and his angels. We don't know, Brother Jeff, when in the dateless past this happened with Lucifer, when he abandoned heaven and became Satan. We don't know. We do know it was before man was made. It could have been millions of years before man was created. And therefore, God created this place, and it's known as the Lake of Fire. The Lake of Fire. It was never meant for man. Never meant for man. When Adam and Eve partook of the forbidden fruit, Brother Francis, God knew they were going to do it. They were free moral agents. And the reason God knew it is he knows all things. So he said, well, why did God let them do it? Because, again, they're free moral agents. He put a choice before them, just like all of us have a choice every day of our life. And, of course, they made the wrong choice, and we all had to pay for it. But God, in his great love, when he seen that we couldn't save ourselves because we brought the curse upon the world through Adam and Eve, he said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to send my only begotten son, Jesus. He's a God. He's the only one that has pure blood. He's the only one who's never sinned. He's the only one that can pay the ransom for sin. And you know the rest of the story. He was born of a virgin birth. He grew up. When he became a man about the age of 30, he went about doing good, called disciples, healed all manner of sickness and disease, cast out devils, even raised the dead. And then Brother Dennis, he did something spectacular. He went to the cross. He died for our sins. And then on the third day, he arose. And he got the victory. There's a song out by Aaron and Jeffrey says, keys, please. I can just imagine him walking up to old Splitfoot and saying, hand them over, Lucy, they're not yours anymore. Hell's not meant, and hell right now is for the here and now. Lake of Fire comes in the future, but right now there's hell. The Bible says at the time of the end, when the beast and the false prophet and the devil and all them angels of his are cast in the lake of fire, hell will also be cast into there. So when people die today, Brother Mike, because they're vested in this world, this flash in the pan, and they die lost, not having Jesus in their heart. And all it takes is saying, God, please, I confess I'm a sinner. I know I've done wrong, but you said in your word, if I'll confess my sins, you'll forgive me of those sins and come into my heart and be my Savior. God don't expect you to be perfect. These churches that preach that bunk, oh man, they're going to stand before God for it. Because we are not perfect and we're never going to be perfect. But what we can do, Sister Wanda, is we can have a daily prayer life with God. When we're having a bad day, I can tell you one person that'll never betray you. I know what betrayal's like, but I can tell you someone that'll never betray you. His name is Jesus. No matter how bad your day's going, Brother Eddie, there's always Jesus. We're not perfect, but Brother Mark, we can have a daily prayer life. We can get in his word every day, fill our soul with goodness, whatever things are true. Whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, the Word of God says, think on these things and you won't be depressed. Amen? So hell was never made for man. It was made for the devil and his angels. So Jesus Christ, he says you can't serve two masters. Then the Apostle Paul, he follows up with that with his own take in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. He says this, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion does light have with darkness? And what concord has Jesus Christ with Belial? Belial is just another name for Satan. Or what part hath he that believes with an infidel? An infidel is a person that doesn't believe in God. Brother Jeff was talking about that earlier. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and I will walk in them and I will be their God and they shall be my people. Wherefore, in light of all this, I just read, Paul saying, wherefore, come out from among them. From among who? The world. Those who are lost. Those who practice all these things that are against God. Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And then he says, I will receive you. So what did Jesus have to say? Once we get ourselves right, once we deny these things we're not supposed to be fooling with, how do we become his dynamos? I'm so glad you asked me that question. The way we become his dynamos, according to the book of Mark, and some of you could probably quote this, Mark chapter 16, verse 15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Jesus wants us to go forth and make disciples. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, he said this, "Let your light so shine in such a way before men that they will see your good works and then glorify your heavenly Father." In Matthew 28, Jesus was speaking and he came and he said unto them, "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." And the Lord just spoke to my heart and said, "Explain this," so I'm going to do it. Some of you know what this means, but I feel like the Spirit's let me know someone's here that don't know what this means, so I'm going to explain it. Very simple. Maybe you're sitting here thinking, "I don't understand the whole thing of God as one and three." Simple. We're the Haining family. I'm father, she's mother, and wherever Rachel's at, she's daughter. But we're all one family. In heaven, think of God as the last name. Father God, Jesus God, Holy Spirit God. They're one family, yet three persons. Okay? So that was easy, wasn't it? So Jesus said, "All power has been given to me, therefore I'm going to commission you with that very same power." And in John chapter 14, verse 12, he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me," I love this verse, "the works that I do shall he do also," and here's the good part, Brother Mike, "and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father." When Jesus went back to the throne, when he came out of the grave, he empowered his church to do greater works than he was able to do, brother, because he was just, Brother Jeff, one man. When he walked planet Earth as a man, Brother Eddie, he was limited to one little part of the Middle East. But he said, "When my church is born, you're going to be my hands, you're going to be my feet, you're going to cover the entire globe, and you're going to spread the gospel everywhere you go. And not only that, but all the works that you've seen me do," I heard about some of them here this morning. Praise God, Jesus healed people. He said, "You're going to do that. By my name, you're going to do that. Jesus cast devils out of people, and my name, you're going to do that." We're hearing more and more about that, by the way, nowadays. It's like they're coming out of the woodworks, people demonically possessed. I've often said, not to knock on any kind of denomination, but they show these Catholic priests, and they'll spend weeks and months praying for people, quoting these incantations that they quote, but you take a good fired up Holy Ghost filled Pentecostal and it'd take 5 minutes or less and that demon's gone, because they know who they believe, they know who's in them. Amen. And the devil ain't looking at a priest, or he ain't looking at a person. He sees the Holy Ghost in your eyes. There's your difference, folks. Amen. Praise God. Now, what did Paul have to say about us being dynamos? In Romans chapter 10, starting at verse 13, he said, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." He didn't leave anybody out. "How then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? Or how shall they believe in him whom they've not heard about? And how shall they even hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they be sent?" Not mommy called and daddy sent, but sent by God. "As it is written," and I love this last part, "how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." You know, I don't know about you, but I like hearing good news. I don't want to hear someone who's called reverend, has a title of reverend, and they got a billy club with them, Brother Dennis, and they're beating me over the head and saying, "Unless you look this way or dress this way or talk this way, you're going to hell." I don't want to hear that mess. What I want to hear is what Jesus said, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That's the whole cup of tea right there. 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul continues. He says, "Preach the word. Be instant in season, out season." In other words, when it's popular and when it's not popular. And then he says there's three things we got to do. We got to be willing to reprove when there's reproof that needs to take place. We got to be willing to rebuke when rebuke needs to take place. But here's the important part. We have to exhort. We have to be happy to exhort, Brother Eddie, with all patience and sound doctrine. Because when we exhort one another, we're building one another up in Jesus. Amen. And that's why it's important. I can't remember who it was said it, Brother Jeff, or one of them said about being in the house of God. That's what's important about being in the house of God. Because if the devil can get you isolated, it's like the animal kingdom show. And they show them little cubs that wander off away from the pack. and then wolves surround that little cub because he's away from mom and dad and the rest of the pack. That's what the devil tries to do to people. He gets you by yourself, isolated, and then you become depressed, and all these other things begin to set in that should never set in your mind, like suicide and different things. But when you're in the house of God, you're around people that love you. Let me tell you something. There's no family like church family. I love my family, but they don't compare to church family. Got quiet on me on that one, but it's still the truth. Jesus said it. He said, a prophet is not without honor except for one thing, when he's in his own country and when he's around his own family members. You know why? Because your family looks at you like you're just one of the guys. They don't have any respect for you. But church family has respect. Church family really loves you. If you got a problem, they rally around you. They pray for you. If they know you're hurting, you need money, they help you. Whatever the case might be, church family is there, and that's the way that it should always be. In Ephesians chapter 6, and I'm almost done this morning, and don't worry, that fat burger is not going anywhere. Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 16, says, above all, taking the shield of faith. This is important, folks. Take the shield of faith wherewith you may be able to quench or deflect all the fiery darts of the wicked. That's speaking of the devil. And then here's the important, other important part. And take the helmet of salvation. Do you know that protects your mind? Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Hallelujah. Praying always with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit. Yeah, we need to pray in the Spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for all saints. And then Peter comes along, and Peter had this to say in 1 Peter chapter 3. He says, and who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? But and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, be happy. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man, like what you were saying there at Roosters or wherever you was, and who asks a reason of that hope that's in you with meekness and fear. Notice it said with meekness and fear, not cocky, not arrogant, not I know more than you know, but with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Jesus Christ. And finally, in Acts chapter 17, Paul and Silas was ministering there, and there was a brother by the name of Jason. Him and some other brothers were doing a good work there. But then there were some fallible Jews that hadn't believed on the name of Jesus, and they were really messed up. Well, let me just read about it. It says, but the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto themselves certain lewd fellows. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? When somebody's trying to smear you or get something bad done, they're going to go out and find someone as low down as they can find. I've heard people say when they're going to court, I'm going to find the most crooked lawyer I can find, and I'm just going to clean them out. Says these Jews, they found them some certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered together a company and set all the city in an uproar, and assaulted, notice that word, assaulted the house of Jason. Jason, keep your shield of faith up, buddy. And sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, these men have utterly turned the world upside down, and now they're come hither also, whom Jason hath received, and all these do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus Christ. I'm talking about being a dynamo for the Lord. We got to be willing to look that old split foot right in the face and say, I'm going on with Jesus just the same. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me before men, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father and his holy angels. And Romans chapter 13, verses 11 through 14, the Apostle Paul was talking to the Roman church there. And he said, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time, Brother Ronnie, to awake out of our sleep. For right now, look around you, right now is our salvation nearer to us than when we believe. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness. And all those two words simply mean is illicit sexual intercourse and unbridled lust. Not in strife and in envying, But here's the kicker. He said, but put you on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put you on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put you on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for this flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Now, what does that mean? That means in our heart. Sister Crystal comes to the piano. I'm done. But what that means is in the heart, the things that the enemy tries to corrupt us with. Scripture's saying, don't fulfill that. Don't follow through with that. Remember what I said earlier? We're not perfect, but we got control of our mind, taking every thought into captivity under the authority of Jesus Christ. That's what we have power. I think you mentioned that in Sunday school. We have power to do that. We don't have to be depressed. We don't have to have suicidal tendencies. We don't have to have any of that mess. But the only way to be have that kind of success is, number one, have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Let him make him Lord of your life. Get in his word. Get in his word. Get in his word. Get it in your heart. Get it in your mind. Because these are good things. These are the things that will build you up. And this is your sword. This is what, you wouldn't go into a battle without a sword, right? So this is your sword, Brother Eddie, that you can do battle with the devil. He can't come across, as the old saying says, the bloodline. He can't cross the bloodline. And when you use the word against him like Jesus did, he's got to go. Remember what Jesus said after about the third time? Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Therein lies the problem with many people. They want to have their cake and they want to eat it too, Brother Jeff. I'm going to serve God, but I'm going to hold on to this thing over here. And don't worry, I'm not going to get in your garden patch this morning. That's your business. But if you got something in your life that you know you shouldn't have in your life, that's between you and God. You need to get it taken care of. Because like Jesus said, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Praise the Lord. We trust that that's been a blessing to you today. And just in case this has landed in someone's lap that happens to be a sinner, we want to take just a moment to lead you into the sinner's prayer. And we trust that the Holy Ghost has been pulling at your heartstrings. If you'll pray this prayer with me, neighbor, and mean it with all your heart, I guarantee you Christ will come into your heart and your life, and you'll be changed forever. Amen. Now let's pray. Father, I realize that I'm a sinner, and I need Jesus as my Savior. You said in your word that if I'll confess my sin, you would be faithful and just to forgive me of my sin and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Right now, Jesus, I confess to you that I'm a sinner, and I'm asking you to forgive me of all my sin. I'm placing my trust solely in you. And I'm serving notice upon you, Satan, right now. You no longer have a hold on my life. I am the property of Jesus Christ, because right now, upon my profession of my faith and his finished work, I am saved. Amen. Hallelujah, neighbor. If you prayed that prayer with me, I want to be the very first one to welcome you into the family of God and encourage you to find you a good Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church so that you can continue on your path with the Lord. Make that 180-degree turn from sin and put all of your energies and your efforts into serving the Lord today. My heartfelt prayer for you today is that you will continue to go with God, and I'll guarantee you this, neighbor, if you will go with God, God will go with you. God bless you today is my prayer.
On behind them, straight ahead the Red Sea, God's children are crying, Lord have mercy on me. God spoke to Moses, he told him what he must do. He said, you're not going down, you're not going under, but you're going through.
We hope you've been blessed by today's message by Pastor Jimmy Haney and Fairborn Full Gospel Tabernacle. Pastor Jimmy and the congregation would like to invite you to visit with them in service at 2528 National Road in Fairborn, Ohio. We will see you again right here next week.
His love changed me. I'm not what I used to be. I'm saved by grace.
HLERadio.com, Jennings, Louisiana.